Good morning, my friends. Skip here. March 27th, it's a Wednesday. 6:06 now, Central Standard Time. A little later today, this is actually take two. One of the things I do, and my advice to you, if you ever podcast, is to go back and listen to everything you do, and just make sure there's clarity of what you're saying. And so this morning I put down a 19-minute podcast and went back and was not happy with the articulation of what I was trying to say. So that's been deleted, and here we are again. And that's okay. I want to make sure that what I say is clear, concise, non-hypocritical, and not, you know, and I want you to know I'm not judging. I'm just recognizing things. So this is part three of God and Barriers. I hope that this little mini-series of podcasts has been good for you. I hope it's made sense. Really, basically, what I'm saying here, folks, is that our concepts that we have asserted as reality more often than not come from other people's sense of false reality, but because they are our only choices, that's how we believe, that's how we think. In my youth, no one ever said, you know, Skip, beyond what religion your grandma's teaching you or your mom's teaching you or whoever, well-intended they may be, there's a bigger truth. There's a wider truth. There's a deeper understanding of self. No one ever said that. What they said was, here's what you need to believe in order to be right, just like me. You know, and so it became a barrier. My notions, my understanding of God, of a superior being, became a barrier. Personally, I do believe that there is something or someone or some energy that is based fundamentally in unconditional love. But I can only understand that through experience, through my higher, more authentic self, through deep intuition and the things that come with spirituality, authentic spirituality. What I want to talk about today, though, and what I talked about at length in take one, is the things we append to the notions of God that we have. So, you know, first thing I want to talk about is how we institutionalize that. We have been taught notions of God, and that certain institutions, certain religions, certain subsects of religions, certain ways of belief are more valid than others. I mean, from the beginning, we're taught to think in dualistic terms, right? I've had the great blessing of speaking with people who, from other religions, who were fairly open-minded, at least for a conversation, and they were just as convinced as anyone else that their religion was right. I've often said, and I've probably said in a podcast or two or five, that the people who flew the planes into the buildings on September 11th, 2001, were convinced they were holy and righteous, God-fearing, God-loving people. You look at the white nationalist movement in our country right now. These people claim the basis of religion, Christian religion, as their motivating and justifying factor. Folks, belief is not spirituality. What comes with those sets of beliefs is also the dogmas, the rules, the adherence to sets of morals that are derived from that false place. So, you know, it legitimizes hatred, it legitimizes prejudice, it legitimizes the dismissal of other people's beings. And quite frankly, it has disconnected us in so many ways from what it really means to be human. I mean, it really is a forgive it. You hear the dogs eating in the background. I just fed them. But we have put in place institutions of patterns of belief that stifle what it really means to be human. And it's really, it's a shame. It's a tragedy, really. People using religion to judge other people's sexuality, or to judge other people's skin color, to judge other people's gender, to judge other people's culture. So the things often that we tag as spirituality, that we profess as religion, that we call faith, which for me, faith is really about trust, not belief, always has been. These things that we present as the answer for our existential angst are often just barriers to finding who we truly are. And that's just one of the saddest things I could possibly say. Let me give you an example, the example I used in take one here. Many years ago, my family moved from Des Moines, Iowa to a suburb. My parents' attempts at a better life. And we befriended a family who lived on the block over. My mom and the mother of this family became fast friends. And I grew up with these kids. You know, the oldest son and I became very close. We still are. And we kind of, you know, we grew apart after so many years. It happens. And I suppose about 15 years ago or so, we reconnected, I think through Facebook probably. And what I discovered about these folks was that they were incredibly strict and religious. I never really realized that back in the day. Although my mother was religious, it was sort of pretend. But these folks were Christian fundamentalists through and through, and still practice that brand of religion. And I remember, especially the younger siblings in this family, one particular brother, being very judgmental of me personally after we reconnected, very judgmental of the religion that I was at that time adhering to. And I ran into the mother and the father a few years ago, and they knew that I had left the faith, their faith, whatever I was practicing, part of their faith. And they were very dismissive, very passive, aggressive, very judgmental of my choices. And, you know, these folks, I've known these folks for 50 years, and it was hurtful. But it was very much in line with how they live and perceive their life, how they have formed their reality. It was no surprise. So those folks and so many others have constructed huge barriers that they're convinced, and it's not that they're bad people, but they're convinced that they must be right in order to make sense of the reality of who they are, in order to validate the judgment that they feel as though they can judge others with. And let me tell you, folks, anyone who didn't believe like them was in real trouble. In order for them to validate that perception of reality, they had to, you know, they had to judge me. Because if they didn't judge me, that left room for acceptance. And acceptance left room for change. And change was not good and is not good to some people. It is a barrier. So the question becomes, you know, not just religiously, but what is your barrier? What keeps you from being the fullest expression of yourself? Forgive me, the puppy has rampaged, which he wasn't doing in take one. What keeps you from being the fullest expression of yourself? What thing did you learn from the world that prevents you from really being you? That, you know, that's the fundamental spiritual question, my friends. And it's not just about religion interfering, although it can. It can also help sometimes. If it's a really open and accepting religion, at least it can be a place to explore. But, you know, what is it that you were taught by anyone? You know, some people are taught sex is a bad thing or a naughty thing, and they never get to express themselves sexually. Some people are taught they don't have the capacity to learn or to grow. So, you know, they never pick up the musical instrument or the pen and paper and write poetry because they've been told they're not worth it or they can't. I cannot tell you how many times people have said, wow, that's really impressive how you can play guitar. I wish I could. And I'm like, well, come on over. I'll teach you what I know. And they're like, I can't do that. I'm too old. I'm not smart enough. I'm not coordinated enough. My fingers are too short. Blah, 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 blah. Barriers, barriers, barriers is what we put up, my friends. Because they are all we know. We want to stay where we know. We're afraid of the new. We're afraid of breaking down barriers because they may expose us to things that are foreign. We're not sure where it may lead, so we don't really go anywhere. And I think part of authentic spirituality is being able to see and break through those barriers, be they a religious understanding you may have learned, be they the self-doubt you have been told to have, the low self-esteem that other people have put on you, Oh, Lord, he's got the squeaky toy. He loves his squeaky toy. So, don't. Part of, well, maybe a huge part of your authentic spiritual search is to see and name and break through the barriers. And that's hard because so many of those barriers are how we have formed, how we understand reality. It takes a lot of bravery and courage, my friends, to break through those barriers. So my question is this, and then I'll leave you here. What are your barriers? We're not always aware of them because we hold them dearly. But what is it that you have bought into that represses who you really are? What is it in you that tells you you shouldn't because of what you've been told or who you've been told to be? Now, don't get me wrong. You know, sky is not the limit here. We have to respect other people. We have to try to do no intentional harm. And if we do unintentional harm, we need to say we're sorry. You know, we need to work on ourselves. The idea that, you know, everything, we can do whatever we want, that's a false idea too, because you're in a relationship with people. But if we're honest with ourselves, then we have to be honest with the barriers that we have put in our life that repress us. Friends, our greatest repressor is ourself and the barriers we have put on ourself. Anyway, there you have it. I hope you enjoyed the 3-part series. I will be up tomorrow morning, and I'll give you another podcast then. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.